Thank you.
We have a full Laibach week on Radio Tangra Mega Rock here, not just because of the forthcoming show in Sofia next week, but also because of this great album of yours. It's been something like 7 years and a half since your previous show in Bulgaria. What happened to you as a band ever since?
Well, yeah, that's really good to know. About the whole week of Laibach, I mean.
Okay.
We were working. We did many different projects. I don't know how much did you follow it, but after the folk album, we did the side project Laibach Kunst der Fuge, which was based on Johann Sebastian Bach, the Art of Fugues, which was a bit of electronic special project for a festival of Johann Sebastian Bach in Leipzig. Then we did another similar interesting project called Volkswagner, which was a project together with a symphonic orchestra here in Ljubljana. We did several shows based on Wagner, but we did a kind of very strange, different version of Wagner, inspired by the black avant-garde jazz music from 50s and 60s and 70s, electronic jazz music. So we did a kind of electronic jazz Wagner, which was, of course, a very, together with symphonic orchestra, very, very interesting project. Then we did music for the film Iron Sky, which I'm sure you've heard about it.
Yeah.
The futurist comedy, Nazi sci-fi mm-hmm. comedy. And we released, you know, several records, books, compilations, music for the film Bach and so on, etc., etc. And now we have finally released a new album, which is a spectacle.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I was asking you this for one main reason, because obviously you are pretty busy doing several projects, as you said. But when actually did you start working on Spectre? Was it something that you started back then and you were completing the work on it simultaneously to doing all these very demanding projects, or you started concentrating on the album itself something like last year or something like this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the idea for Spectre is I would say, not very old, but it was, you know, it's going on in our heads since a few years. But really, we have started to deal with the project much more precisely, much more intensively last year, in really around February, March. And the whole album was actually finished till October, completely finished till October, because the official original release should happen in October. But then due to, you know, some international, I don't know, strategy of distribution things, which our record company Mute had, they had some problems with releasing it in October, so they postponed it till first till February and then till March. Finally, it was released in March, and that's it. So the album was actually finished last year in August.
Mm-hmm. Всъщност, I will translate this after we finish our conversation, because it's a pretty long sentence and it could be a good something like CV about Laibach for the last 7 years. Just to mention this part in Bulgarian. Всъщност, ще ви преведа какво са правили Laibach от предишния концерт тук в България преди 7 години и половина за всичките тези проекти, които Иван нахвърля. Само сега ще уточня, че му зададох този въпрос, за да го попитам. Ясно е, че не са стояли с кръстени ръце, но така както новият им албум Спектър, който продължаваме да слушаме и тази седмица по Тангра, практически излезе през март, но работата за него кога е започнала? Дали едва миналата година или те са работили по него междувременно през всичките тези 7 години? И Иван каза, всъщност наистина това са идеи, които ние имаме от няколко години, но по-конкретно и прецизно започнахме да работим миналата година, февруари-март. Бяхме готови през октомври. Албумът трябваше тогава да излезе, но поради някакви международни връзки и стратегии на нашата компания, легендарната Mute Records, албумът излезе чак през март. What is interesting is that you mentioned your record label, a very famous, legendary one. And we all remember your first years as a complete Slovenian underground artistic unity. Very independent at the same time. With how the world is happening, the so-called show business and stuff, more and more bands tend to be absolutely independent and to go on their own. To what extent we can say that today, from that point of view, not from the artistic, but from the business side of the things, Laibach is an independent band?
I think we are basically... As you say, everybody is more and more independent. You know, everybody's trying to release, is trying to take the destiny in their own hands. Simply, the reason, one of the main reasons is that the big record business is falling apart. Records do not sell as they used to do, and the music industry just cannot find the way how to survive, you know, like the EMI, the giants, the majors are actually falling apart to different pieces. You know, Mute was originally sold in 2003 to EMI, and then EMI was did not, you know, survived, and now the Mute catalog is now basically sold to different other record companies. Mm-hmm. Mute itself is starting from the new, from the very scrap, from the basic, as a new independent label, really, a small independent label. It has a completely different position than it used to have. And, you know, people like Nick Cave went completely independent in the meantime and so on, etc. Even, you know, even Beyoncé is releasing not even the physical albums anymore. Simply the music industry is not what it used to be, and that's why a majority of groups, especially the smaller independent ones who do not sell, like, you know, who never sold big amount of albums, they are, of course, trying to establish themselves on their own, really. They find the possibilities how to release and promote their music on their own.
Mm-hmm.
This is, of course, due to development in the internet and digital downloading and so on. But, you know, every bad thing has a good side also. And this is, I think, forcing music and music industry to find new possibilities of music distribution and consumption and promotion, etc., etc. Groups like Laibach,
yeah,
you know, we're basically used to the situation, and we've always been always acted as a kind of pirates in a way, and really always succeeded to find you know, ways of being presented on the market. Of course, not on a huge scale, but big enough for operations.
Въпросът беше, знаем за тяхното начало преди 30 години като една напълно независима компания, която все пак през годините успя да се наложи като международно име и да работи с легендарни фирми като Mute Records, които издадоха и новия им албум. До каква степен те всъщност са запазили своята независимост? Иван каза, ами всъщност ние наистина винаги сме били независима като структура и статут. Знаете, между другото, че световният бизнес много се промени и заради интернет и така нататък. Драстично спаднаха продажбите на албуми. Дори Бейонсе не издава често физически носители с албумите си. А всъщност статутът на самите Mute се промени. През 2003-та те бяха купени от гиганта EMI, които обаче нямаше какво да правят. Не знаеха какво. Сринаха се нещата и продадоха различни моменти от своя каталог на различни фирми. Така, например, Nick Cave внезапно се оказа абсолютно индипендент артист. Ние наистина по някакъв начин Laibach винаги сме живели, да го кажем така, като пирати, но успяваме по някакъв начин да сме, да присъстваме на пазара, не разбира се, на големите рафтове на първите редици. I heard a lot about this new show of yours, new live show. To what extent is going to be a huge surprise for us, this show in Sofia next week?
You know, we usually say that people should expect nothing and they will get a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, it's fair enough.
We can't really, you know, we don't exactly know what kind of venue is this where we are playing. If the venue will give us possibilities to develop a proper show, then we can probably do a great show. I mean, it depends. We're trying to do shows in different size venues. Everything from, you know, several thousands to the several hundred sized venues, and we are definitely trying to do as much as we can. But you know, the program can work differently in different venues. That really depends a lot on the space itself.
Are you playing only the new record?
No, we're playing. We're presenting a new album, plus we're playing some other songs, which let's say, you know, also some older songs, but also some songs which people are not so familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Въпросът ми беше такъв, те са популярни и много чуваме за това колко яко е новото им шоу, с какво ще ни изненадат следващата седмица. Иван каза, ние винаги казваме на хората да не очакват нищо и така ще получат много задоволство. Не знаем какво да очакваме, как ще се получи, защото не знаем нищо за залата, за София Лайф Клуб. Ние можем да свирим и в от няколко хиляди до няколко стотин човека, но при всички случаи ще видим какво ще се получи. Попита го само парчето от новия албум ли? Не, каза Иван, ще свирим и от него, разбира се, но ще свирим и по-стари парчета, както и парчета, които хората може би не познават чак толкова добре. Yesterday we heard the sad news about losing this great visual artist H.R. Giger. And you as a very visual band, well, you're far from what his visuals are, but do you find that you were in a way influenced somehow by what he did as an impact on the aesthetics of European visuals?
Well, I must say that we met Giger, we knew him, we met twice in the past. I didn't know that he passed away. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, he died on Monday. 74 years old. She just fell, and from the injuries, he died. He was I'm sorry to be the bad messenger.
We even visited him in his castle in Switzerland a few years ago. I very much remember how we actually got in touch with Giger originally, mm-hmm. and that was approximately sometime in 1974, 1976, it's hard to say precisely.
Before the alien.
Before the alien, yes. If you remember, I mean, there was the album of Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Of course, yeah.
Which was designed by Giger, the first album. Mm-hmm. And also, I think, Yes, I'm not sure, but I think that Yes might as well be designed by Giger, but I'm not entirely sure.
He was very much into Roger Dean.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. That was Roger Dean. Giger was Emerson, Lake and Palmer. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the first time when we got in touch with his design, which was already then very attractive, and of course later on with all the aliens films and so on. And yes, I can't really say that he influenced us directly, but I'm sure that he influenced us indirectly somehow.
Предвид факта, че те са група с естетика и много визии, те Лайбах, попитах го предвид факта, тъжната новина, която научихме вчера за смъртта на страхотния визуалист Гигер. Иван се изненада, не беше чул за това, се извиних, че съм лошия вестоносец. Той каза, всъщност, наистина, спомням си, ние сме се виждали с него два пъти, дори ходихме в замъка му в Швейцария, спомням си много добре
1974-76 беше там някъде, което практически аз установих и подчертах, че преди периода на Пришелец, онзи филм от 79-та, точно така. Не бих казал, че ни е повлиял директно, но индиректно по някакъв начин със сигурност, защото въпросът ми беше такъв, свързан с европейската визуална култура и естетика, която при всички случаи не може да им е убягнала. The world of today is a bit different from the world 7 years ago when we last had the chance to talk to you. What do you think is happening today? Is it really the demise of... are we close to the so-called New World Order? Or it is a too long question to answer?
I think that certain awareness came to a certain point with all the last social economic banking crisis in Europe and the United States and the whole world and so on. I think that people are much more aware of the, so to say, the actual situation of the dominion of capital and capitalism, etc. The Cold War is finished. The illusions about the free world, I think they're also pretty much over. And even the previous communist countries, which were behind the Iron Curtain, are now aware of the fact what is the reality of the neoliberal capitalism. And I think everybody has become a little bit more sober. And mm-hmm. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. But, of course, the bad thing is the general situation, which is, in our opinion, the system of neoliberal capitalism is simply, so to say, what would be the word? It is obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be changed.
What would you say, though, about this new wave of nationalistic power coming from the big bear in the East?
You obviously mean Putin and Russia, etc.,
yeah.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. It was not a deep metaphor.
I think it's partly produced by the West. That is pretty much clear. It's very hard. It's very tragic what's happening, of course, in Ukraine. But this is the historical the historic problem. And Ukraine, everybody who knew the situation in Ukraine a little bit knew that this is probably going to happen sooner or later, because of the historic ties and all the historic problems. And I think that the Western Europe, that the rest of Europe, was really not able to react and foresee the problem, the existing problem. So I don't want to justify what's happening from the side of Russia and Ukraine and so on, but I also don't really want to say Putin is the only bad guy in the game.
Yeah, of course, but at the same time there is something here very important regarding this Russian society, and it goes up to something that you guys have been standing for years, and this is the freedom of artistic expression. Do you think that this is the weakest point that they have up there in Russia, or it was also predictable?
So. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so. I think that we've played in Russia quite a lot, so we know a little bit more situation over there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Russia is very complex and huge and difficult to swallow and difficult to understand for people who are coming outside of Russia and so on. But we've had the chance to meet quite a lot of artists, Russian artists, who were doing very extreme stuff and very liberal, so to say. And I wouldn't say that the question of artistic expression is so much endangered in Russia itself.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when it goes, when it happens in the churches, and aims towards Putin and so on, like what happened with Pussy Riot, that is basically extreme. But we shouldn't forget that the whole action would be completely irrelevant if Putin wouldn't react as he did.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually did. This has to be kind of. This was, of course, part of the whole thing. You know, that was a victim was made. If these girls wouldn't really go into jail, and if the whole thing wouldn't happen, then the action would be irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. You tend to be absolutely up to date with songs like Eurovision on the new album, because today everyone on Facebook is talking about the bearded person that won it, but I don't want to talk about this because it's been everywhere. I don't want to put light back into this conversation, but I will get back 7 years ago when
just camouflaged prince, you know.
Yeah, of course. When you said 7 years ago, you said, your words were that we Bulgarians must be happy because we have a strong football team, and football is conceived to be the second most important thing on earth. I know that you were, it was a sentence full of irony, but still, are you into football, and are you interested in the fact that the World Cup starts in less than a month now?
No, I must say, not very much. We're, you know, obviously following bits and pieces of football also, but at the same time, we are almost a little bit afraid what's happening, because football is the last frontier of the, you know, collective joy, almost. And that's, that there is a little bit of a worrying. There's more and more, you know, football, transmission of football games, more and more TV, special TV programs with only football everywhere, and monitors outside the bars, in every city, you know, just transmitting football and nothing else. It is a little bit of a, it's a nice game, football, don't misunderstand me. It's a very nice game, but I think that giving it too much importance is really kind of worrying.
Yeah, of course, I'm not into this. I'm a rugby guy anyway. So, thank you very much for being with us. I'll see you in Sofia. Is there anything that you would like to say to the fans now during the Laibach week on Radio Tangra Mega Rock? And, whatever. You are the master.
There was a bit of an interruption, so I didn't really quite understand. What were your last words?
Do you have any last words? Is there anything you would like to tell to the fans of Laibach here, especially on the week dedicated to your band on Radio Tangra Mega Rock?
Okay, I don't know. You know, come to the show and join our party.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Party for your life to fight, for your party to. For your life to party.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Beastie Boys.
Party.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ivan. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Иван Новак, с който всъщност си казахме няколко неща, докато вървеше парчето от техния нов албум Евровизия. Той всъщност завърши с думите. Сега в седмицата на Лайбах попитах го какво искаш да кажеш последно на феровете. Иван каза, елате на купон, борете се за правото си на парти. Обърка малко думите на Beastie Boys, подозирам абсолютно умишлено. А иначе, много важните неща, за които говорихме преди това е, например, светът днес е малко по-различен от този преди 7 години и половина, когато си говорихме за последно. А той като човек и те като група са с много изострена чувствителност за това какво се случва по света. Албумите им са много такива. Той каза, мисля, че много неща се случиха в последните години, като финансовата, обществената, социална криза. Всъщност хората станаха по-трезви, знаят какво е неолибералния капитализъм. Това всъщност е добре,
и практически изобщо този тип социални отношения очевидно са абсолютно отживелица. Аз му казах, добре, но не те ли притеснява тази голяма алчна националистическа вълна, която се задава от мечката от изток? Той каза, имам чувството, че говорим за Путин и за Русия. Аз казах, да, метафората ми не беше толкова дълбока. Той каза, трябва да се има предвид, естествено, изобщо не съм на негова страна и е ужасно това, което се случи в Украина, но това са неща, които можеха да се предвидят, защото проблемите там са исторически и просто Западна Европа, изобщо Западът, може би не познават, т.е. може би трябваше да се подготвят и повече да познават този тип неща, които се случват, тази материя. Не ме разбирайте погрешно, каза той, аз изобщо не защитавам Путин, просто искам да кажа, че той не е единствения лош в тази игра. Аз му казах, добре, да говорим за неща, които вас вероятно много ви касаят, тъй като вие винаги сте стояли зад това и сте се борили за свободата на творческо изразяване. Иван каза, да, аз казах, това в Русия не е ли подложено на съмнение? Той каза, вижте, ние сме имали възможност много да пътуваме и свирили сме в Русия, срещали сме се с хора, които правят адски екстремни неща, наистина, и не мисля, че има заплаха за това през тези години. А всъщност, каза той, това, което се случи в църкви с Пуси Раят и така нататък, никой може би нямаше да разбере по света, ако Путин не беше действал по начина, по който той действа, именно да ги вкара в затвора. Съответно, обаче, това ме кара да си мисля, каза Новак, че замисълът по принцип е бил да се случи така. И всъщност това, което освен всичко ни припомни той за събитията, свързани с Лайбах в тези 7 години и половина, след последния им концерт в София, след албума Folk, един страничен проект, разбира се, свързан с интерпретации на музика на Бах, последван от Volkswagner, в който заедно с оркестър те правят адски странни, авангардни, черни джаз неща, сено от 50-те, 60-те и 70-те с оркестър, електронен джаз на базата на Вагнер. После, разбира се, музиката за филма Iron Sky, който няма как да не сте забелязали. И така нататък, и така нататък. Доста дълъг разговор проведохме с Иван Новак за новия албум, за концертите, за смъртта на Гигер, за Евровизия си обещахме да не си говорим, защото това е навсякъде в последните дни, въпреки че те имат песен Евровизия. Той каза, какво? Един маскиран принц. И крайна сметка за независимостта в музиката и, разбира се, за политическата ситуация в Европа, не толкова в света, колкото в Европа.